Who has started a Christmas list? Well, not a little bit too loud. Like a shopping list, like you're going to give it to someone to think about. Yep. Like, hey, Connor, I saw her raise her hand. So I remember as a kid, we would make our list and we would put it together and we started to make our list of things we wanted for Christmas. Now, over the years, we have gotten those lists from our boys. Sometimes they are extensive lists from our boys. Usually, we didn't need to ask for the list from our boys. Now, I'm not asking, guys, but this is the first year that we haven't gotten a list volunteer. It's kind of interesting. Yes. No, we're still going to go shopping. We'll have a couple things under the tree. Not much, but we'll have a couple. Now, I'm just giving them a hard time. But we'd make our shopping list. Now, I remember as a kid, I'd make that shopping list, and you'd do that stuff, and you would come downstairs. Now, we had a glorious Christmas morning. So we had an alcove that where we would put the tree. It was probably just about the size of where the piano or the organ was. Maybe it was probably about that size, slightly more square instead of oblong, but it would be kind of rectangular. We'd put a big old tree in there. We would go out. We live up in the country, so we'd go out on Christmas Eve sometime during the day. We would find a tree, cut it down, drag it home. We always got abused from extended family because it was often one of the ugliest trees you ever saw. But we didn't pay for it. When I started paying for trees, I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. But we would take this tree. It would often fit that space. But there was no presents under the tree when we would go to bed on Christmas Eve. And then we would come down Christmas morning. Presents. Oh. You know, we couldn't come into the living room. So we had, the living room was kind of in the middle of the house, and we had a back stairs and a front stairs, and right at the one set of stairs was the bathroom, which was the only bathroom with a shower. And so we would come down those stairs and we could look in the door, but we weren't allowed into the living room. But you'd come down those stairs and you'd get to the spot where you could look through the door into the living room. The tree is right there and like, oh. And you're saying to yourself, I hope the stuff on my list is there. Have you ever said that? I hope it's there. Well, we have lists like that in our lives, don't we? And we have lists when we talk to God and we pray to God. Do you ever go to God with a list? We often do. We say, God, I have a number of things I would like to talk to you about. Well, over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about presents that God gives us. And today in particular, I want to talk about presents that we ask God for that he gives us. Now, it's kind of cool, and I've said this to you, we have presents that we ask for. Next week, we're going to talk about presents that we get that we haven't asked for. But this week, we're going to talk about presents that we ask for from God, and he gives them to us. And they're great, great presents. So let's start to unpack those presents, but before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. And we'll jump into things. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning for your goodness to us. And Father, as we start to think about the presents that you give to us, presents that are amazing, presents that are glorious, Father, be honored in our time. Be glorified in our time. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you think about these presents that you put under, or that you ask God to put under the tree for you, did you ever put stuff on your list that you knew was kind of too expensive? There's some giggle there. Yeah. Yeah. But we put it on a list just in case. Just in case. And every once in a while, you know, I think of one thing. I was talking in the Heritage Hour about it. And I got this shooting gallery gift. It was this present. I had wanted it. We looked at the advertisements on the commercial. Oh, it was glorious. It looked like kids would have fun with that thing from one Christmas to the next. You'd have so much fun, you'd never want to put it away. It broke a few months later, but I still had a blast with it. But it was one of those things I looked at and said, I'll never get it. It was too expensive. But that year, it was under the tree. Cool. It was just cool. We like those presents. We like those things. And sometimes when we talk to God, we say to God, God, is it possible? And we say, as we ask that, we know it's a big gift. Now also, just to be clear, when you walk into the room on Christmas morning, and you look at the presents that you didn't wrap and put there, do you by chance go up to the big ones and hope your name is on the box? Do you ever do that? I want the big one, hoping that the big one is really for me and in there is something great. And we've had fun with that too over the years, because we've taken that really big box. Box! And you put someone's name on it and they open it. And there's another box. And then they open it and there's another box. It's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Oh, it's so much fun. But enough mischief. One of my folks periodically would take like some of those big presents that they knew we wanted and was tough to hide. And so they would put another one of my siblings' names on it. Oh, we were so disappointed. Like when we asked for a bicycle, and it's tough to wrap a bicycle. So remember this one time there was a bicycle there and kind of bicycle behind Dad's chair. And I don't remember what was... My folks put the wrong person's name on it on purpose, and the person was hoping to get was so disappointed. Oh, it's the wrong name. Oh, you know, glorious. Well, let's talk about a couple presents that are under God's tree that we ask for. Now, what's amazing with these gifts and these things that God talks about us is he tells us he'll give them to us. But these are also things we ask for. And these are going to be some of those big ones that you know, but I'm just going to walk through these anyway because these are also amazing gifts. Amazing. The first one is this. You're still going to see it in the screen. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness. That is an amazing, amazing gift. We know it's an amazing gift because each of us knows that at different times in our life, we have just really messed up. And knowing that there is forgiveness is huge. Because when we mess up, there are times when we ask ourselves, how can I fix it? How can I correct it? How can I pay this and make it right? And the reality is, forgiveness is overwhelmingly, it's not something that can be bought by us. Forgiveness. First, there is forgiveness from God. And there's a number of verses I want to look at, starting with Romans chapter 3, verse 23. You know this, but let's just look at it again. And that's how come I didn't put those specific things underneath there. You see that? I meant to put an F there. So you look at that. The first two things under forgiveness, both of them are forgiveness from God, and it's also forgiveness from others. But let's look at forgiveness from God. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard. When I was 14, I got this. I was 14 when I made a decision to put my faith and trust in Christ. I was a hardened criminal, had just been paroled. You know the truth of the matter is, you have some 14-year-olds that are real pips, and that can be difficult, but, most 14-year-olds really haven't delved into the depths and cesspool things of life yet. But yet when I was 14 years old, I really understand that I was sinful and that I had done things wrong and that I needed to be forgiven. I am so glad that God is willing to forgive, because all of us have sinned. And the reality is, all of us have sinned, and there's a consequence. There's a consequence, a consequence, a consequence. And I don't know about you, but consequences scare me. Now, let's be honest. Truth, time for truth. Does anyone here speed periodically? Let's be truthful. Does anyone here go a little bit faster than they're supposed to? Yes, you can poke him. Make him put his hand up. Now we know what that's called. We call that sin. But you know what we don't want? There's this an instant reaction in every single one of us. We are hurrying until we see something uniformly we all recognize at the side of the road. An amazing thing happens. We step on the brake. Because sometimes we're not as worried about as our sin, we're not as worried about the sin as we're worried about the consequence. And the truth for me, from when I was 14, I knew I was a sinner. But I will be honest, I was not nearly worried about the fact that I was a sinner as much as I was worried about the fact that there was a consequence for sin. When I understood that consequence of sin was being in a place called hell apart from God forever, that scared the bejeebers out of me. And it should scare the bejeebers out of you. I'm not sure what a bejeeber is, but I don't have any more. Scared me. And it made me realize that I needed Jesus. It made me realize that I needed forgiveness. The great news is that if we confess our sin to Jesus, to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That's what's an amazing promise from God. It's an amazing gift. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to bribe Him. All we need to do is ask Him. And He says, it's yours for the taking. Ask and I'll give it to you. It is an amazing, what? I didn't hear you. What amazing, what is it? What kind of gift? Amazing. It's an amazing gift to be forgiven. To be able to enter into God's presence and not get the look. Now, when you do something that really annoys someone and you know, next time you come home, next time you get to work, next time you see your friend, and you're going to get the look, you're going to get the attitude, and to know that with God, we're not going to get the look. We're not going to get the attitude. We're not going to get the... We're just not going to get it. Why? Because we are forgiven. You know what's cool about forgiveness? Is that when God works in us, and we start to experience forgiveness, He wants us to flesh that out and live that out in relationship with others. And here's that verse that many of us know. But it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Now does any of that get connected to things that have offended? So when someone has been offended, do they ever get bitter? Like their face starts to pinch, their attitude just starts to get ugly. Have you ever experienced bitterness from people who have been offended and hurt? Rage. Have you ever seen an offended person, a sinned against person, and they're just all laid back? It's no big deal. No. They're waiting for you. They're ready for you to come around the corner. They're waiting for you to come home. They're ready for you to come to work. They're ready for you at that stoplight. They're ready. Why? Because they're ticked off. Anger, harsh words. Boy, people that are offended, that have been hurt, they just always have the nicest things to say. No, they have harsh words. They don't speak well of others, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of this stuff. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. This is what's amazing. As we get to experience the forgiveness of God, God starts to do stuff inside of us. And we learn to start to forgive other people. Now, two things are amazing with that. Because here's what's amazing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is amazing because, first of all, I learn to forgive. And when I learn to forgive, I start to be able to release the hurt. And so that means I get to start to get rid of my anger. I get to start to get rid of my attitude. I get to start to get rid of my vocabulary. Because God is helping me to start to get rid of that stuff and let it go. And it starts to change in me, and it starts to bring transformation in me because I get to start to release that offense. I get to start to release that hurt. And when I start to experience forgiveness, not only from receiving forgiveness, but when I start to experience forgiveness by granting forgiveness, it starts to set me free. And that's one of the amazing things about this gift of forgiveness, is that there is amazing, amazing freedom. But the other part of that is the person who receives. And they get to receive that freedom. They get to receive that release. They get to know that I no longer am holding it against them. And they get to release the guilt and the burden and the hurt of having brought offense. And this is what's amazing about what God does in a Christian. God allows us not just to experience forgiveness from God, but God allows us to start to experience what it means to release the hurt and to start to forgive other people. Can I tell you? Forgiveness is an amazing gift. It's an amazing gift. Because it sets us free. It starts to release the burdens and the weight and the chains that want to hold us down. It sets us free. There's another great gift connected to this. It's reconciled relationships. That's the R and the R, or the started with the R. Reconciled relationships. It's intriguing to me and very, very true that oftentimes as we start to recognize our flawedness, when we come to God with confessing sin, we then start to say, God, would you help me to be restored with? Would you help me be restored to? And we start to ask God to heal relationships. And you know what's cool? It's that God does that. It's an amazing gift. Amazing. Couple verses stand out here. First of all, we have a restored relationship with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and again, one of my favorite verses, verse 21, but let's just run up to that. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. God has given us this privilege to help people recognize that they can be reconciled with God. There are so many people in our world who would say to you, God hates me. I can never have a relationship with God. They would look at you and say to you, I am so far from God, and God would hate me so much that there's no even reason to try to have a conversation with God. There's no even reason to try to pursue something with God because I have lived such a lousy life. I've been such a horrible person. I've done such terrible things that God doesn't even want to know me or have a relationship with me. And that's just not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And we have an opportunity as a people and as individuals to help people start to realize that God absolutely, totally loves them and that God wants to be reconciled to them. God is God is the father, and we others are the prodigals, and the father is standing at the road watching and looking for his kids to come home. And that reality is so true. God is desiring and hungering for people who are far from him to be restored and have relationship and to be reconciled to him. And we have the privilege of having a ministry in our world with people we work with family, with friends. We have the privilege of having a reconciling relationship where we can help them understand that God loves them like crazy, and they don't have to live alienated from God, but they can have an amazing relationship with God because God is reaching out. And if they would just take his hand, he would draw them to himself. And we get to make the introductions. We get to say, reach out. Why? Because God has this amazing gift that he wants to pour out all over the place, where he brings reconciliation, where he restores broken and damaged relationships. And the most damaged and most needing of restoration is a relationship that people have with God. We have a privilege to help that get restored. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who had never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We have been given the privilege of producing and communicating the message of reconciliation. We have the opportunity to help people know and experience the truth of Jesus. Can I tell you something? This Santa's Wonderland is coming up. This is what this is all about. Trying to build relationships and make connection with our community. This is one of the reasons we have done this over these past couple of years, because we're seeking to build relationships and make connection with our community so that we can have a conversation with them about how they can be reconciled to God. And we want to do that by, first of all, showing that we care and modeling love and concern for our community. And reaching them and caring for them in a way that they feel loved, in a way that they feel cared for, in a way that they feel we care. And that's important in this. It's not just asking, how do I feel it? We have to ask, how would our community feel it? How would our community experience it? And this is also why we're doing the prayer room this year. Because as we processed through that and wrestled through that, the reality is we have people who are coming in who might just need someone to pray with on Friday or Saturday. We want to be available to pray with them. And maybe Friday or Saturday, someone's going to say, you know, I want to ask Jesus to be a part of my life. I recognize I need that forgiveness. I want to be reconciled to God. And we want to help them experience the amazing gift of God in their life. We have the privilege to stand before our community, to stand before our world, to stand before our family, friends, coworkers, colleagues, neighbors, and we get to be a reconciling ministry, calling people to a relationship with God. Why? Because God is seeking to restore them to relationship with himself, and he's given us Jesus, who will take away sin if they'll only embrace him. So we have a ministry of reconciliation. Reconciled relationships. It starts in being reconciled with God, but it also it gets experienced as we get reconciled with others. Have you ever had a broken relationship? Have you ever had friendships or family members that at one time were close and intimate, and something happened that caused that to break? This is where the power of the gospel kicks in. Matthew. I can get my computer to go there. Well, let me go to Romans. I'll read Romans and then I'll go to Matthew. Sorry about that. Romans 5, 6 to 11. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is equally good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Be reconciled to God. An amazing gift. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Matthew chapter 5, being reconciled with others. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Do you understand that God thinks being reconciled is important? God isn't thinking, well, don't worry about it. No, this is important. Because oftentimes when people are watching us, people are looking at us, and they're going to ask, is this faith stuff, is this Jesus stuff real? And when we start to live out what it really means to be a follower of Jesus, and we say, listen, I've offended you, and I'm sorry. When we learn to pursue being reconciled because of the work that Jesus has done inside of us, it's amazing. Because, again, what happens is we now get to experience release and forgiveness from family and friends and from others, but they also get to see the reality of Jesus at work in us and through us. Ephesians. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separates us. He did this by ending the system of law, which is with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility to each other was put to death. It's an amazing thing. When God brings people together who had been opposed, and through the finished work of Jesus and a relationship with Jesus, he puts hostility to death. See, God is in the work of doing reconciliation. God is in the work of restoring people to relationship. It's an amazing gift to experience something that at one point in time was great and somehow became broken, and to be given the gift of having that restored. That is amazing. And that's the kind of stuff God does. And that's one of the gifts that God gives us. How about another one? Flows right through this whole thing. Healed hurts. Healed hurts. See, God is in the process of healing hurts. Have you experienced wounds that cut deep? Hurts that go to your core, and you've asked yourself, how will this ever be healed? And God is in the process of healing hurts. It's an amazing gift. It's an amazing thing that God does for us through Christ. Number of passages here I want to walk through. Let's go to Psalm 55, verse 22. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. How about 1 Peter chapter 5? So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares for you. Stay alert. Now, I want you to catch this, because you might know this verse, you might know what's going on. But he says, give all your cares and hers. Go back to that verse. Go back one slide. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Now, keep this in mind as we read these next couple verses. Because this is the context. The context here, the context is really important. So, give all your worries, all your cares to God, because he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out. Your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Pause here for a second. Give God all your hurts. Give all God your cares. Give all those burdens to the Lord. And in that context, he's saying, do that because your enemy, the devil, is walking around like a lion seeking to devour you. Do you want to understand something? If we hold on to those hurts, if we hold on to those pains, if that creates a foothold in our life, a launching point for which the evil one can launch into your life and wreak destruction and devastation. And why is Jesus telling us to give our cares to him, to give our burdens to him, and lay those things before him? Because the evil one wants to use those things as avenues through which he can enter into your life and wreak havoc. But when you release those hurts, when you release those burdens, and when you say, okay, God, I'm not going to hold on to these things. God, I am going to allow you to bring healing. God, I'm going to allow you to bring a forgiving spirit into my life. God, I'm going to allow you to take those things that I want. I want the grudges. God, I'm going to release it. And God, I'm going to allow you to help me to release those pains, to release those hurts, to release those offenses. What's amazing is we don't give the evil one a place from which to launch attacks into our lives. I've known a number of people who have been consumed with hate, who have been consumed with hurt. They wouldn't say they're hateful. They would say they've been hurting, and they have been hurt. And they've taken their hurts and they've stuffed it into this bag of life. And they would stuff it into the bag of life. And they would stuff it into the bag of life. And they would stuff it into the bag of life. And they would never deal with those hurts and they would never deal with those fences. And they wouldn't apply biblical principles and learn to forgive and learn to release. They would stuff it into the bag of life. And after a while, that bag starts to drag. And that bag starts to become a burden that they're pulling. And the attitude and the hurts start to just define them. And the problem with the fact that they've kept on stuffing this stuff, there are times in life when they start to say, you know, I probably should deal with some of these hurts. I should start to deal with some of these offenses. But as they start to reach toward the bottom of the bag to pick up those hurts and offenses, they kind of, you ever put leaves in a bag? And you start to empty the leaves at the bottom of the bag, and as you pull it out, It's not quite leafy anymore. It kind of falls apart in your hands and kind of really stinks. And it's kind of slimy. This is the kind of stuff at the bottom of the bag. It's stinky, it's slimy, it's falling apart. And they really wrestle with how to deal with those hurts and offenses because they've been stuffing them for so long. It's difficult to pull those offenses and hurts out and really deal with them. And they just know they're ticked. But they don't really remember exactly why they're ticked. And when you know you're ticked, but you really don't remember exactly why you're ticked, it's tough to release that offense. It's tough to release that hurt. Because you don't quite know how to let it go. So God gives us the opportunity to find healing from hurts, to learn to release them and to let them go. He goes on. In his kindness, God called you. So this is his kindness. You get this? You have these hurts. You have these offenses. You have these pains. And the evil one wants to use them as footholds in your life to get in your life and start to mess you up. But in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Go back to Matthew. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." When we remember and learn to lay those hurts and those offenses and those pains and let God have them, instead of holding on to them and stuffing them, and instead of giving the evil one a place to grab a hold of. And God does this because he loves us. He wants us to live with freedom, not carrying burdens, not carrying hurts, not carrying offenses. Because when we carry those hurts, when we carry those burdens, when we carry those offenses, they are weighty. And this amazing thing that God does is he gives us this gift of being able to get rid of those hurts, to get rid of those offenses, to get rid of that pain. It's an amazing gift. It says, "I want to bring healing to your hurts. I want to bring healing to your lives. I want to restore you." It's an amazing gift. One more gift is under that tree for those of us who have talked to God and that we ask God for. It's love. It's love. It's a song that most of us have sung. All we need is love. Da, 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 da. It doesn't matter who you are. Whether you're a religious person, a secular person, love. We desire it. We hunger for it. All of us want to be loved. Every single one of us want to be loved. And get my verse to go forward. There we go. John 13, verse 34. Jesus says, "So I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." Jesus is talking to disciples, and he loved them. And he modeled for them what it meant to be loved and what it meant to be cared for. Now, as we talk about this, we're not necessarily talking about romantic love. Because not all love is romantic love. There is romantic love, but we're not necessarily talking about that at this point in time. We're just talking about a love where we are included, where we are enfolded, where we are family. Where we can walk in and we're known, we're cared about, where we are loved. And God very intentionally, God very purposely is seeking to create an environment and a community where that love is expressed and poured out. First John chapter 2, verse 3. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If some claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know that we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one, and you have had from the very beginning this old commandment. To love one another is the same message you've heard before. Yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you are also living it, for the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is appearing. If anyone claims, I am living in the light, but hates his fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to see how the body of Christ functions when we learn to love one another. We learn to care about one another. And where people start to enter into a body, people start to enter into a community. And despite their baggage, despite their history, they get to know and experience the love of God. And they get to know and experience the love of God first through forgiveness from sin for Jesus. But then they enter into a community and they're loved. They're cared about. It's an amazing thing. God loves us. And God wants us to experience his love in our relationship with him, but also as we interact with one another. Four amazing gifts related to one another that God gives us. And these overwhelmingly are usually gifts that have been on our list. God, I want forgiveness. God, can you help me to reconcile and restore broken relationships? God, I am hurting. Can you please, please bring healing to my life? God, I just want to be loved. I just want to be loved. And what's amazing, absolutely amazing, is that in Jesus, we get to sit down on Christmas. We get to look under the tree. And these four gifts are there for us with our names on it, ready to be opened and embraced. Let's pray together. Father, I want to say thank you this morning for your goodness to us. Father, I want to say thank you for how much you absolutely, totally love us. Father, I want to say thank you for these four gifts that you lavishly and richly have given to us. Man, God, you are good. You are really, 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 really good. Thank you for Christmas. And thank you for these gifts. Amen.
This is a sermon that speaks to everyone, no matter where they're at. God does love us. He does bless us. He does want to give us these gifts. So which of the four things that were talked about today really jump out and speak to you? Is it the forgiveness from God and others? Is it forgiveness that you need to give to others? Is it the reconciled relationships with God, with others? Is it the healed hurts? Maybe it's hurts that you've put on other people. Maybe it's hurts that people have done to you. Or is it that love? What jumps out to you? What do you need to be praying, asking God for, pursuing and applying, like Andrew was talking about? What jumps out to where you are? I know for me, when I was sitting there, the thing that really jumped out with Santa's Wonderland in mind is that ministry of reconciliation. We have an awesome opportunity this weekend coming up. in everything that we're doing, whether you're helping setting up, whether you're dressing up in a costume, whether you're setting up rooms, inviting people. We all have an opportunity to help people be reconciled to God, and it's an awesome opportunity that He gives us. So let's be intentional this upcoming week and this weekend with this reconciliation and just every area of your life. Be intentional with these four things that Andrew talked about. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray for each of you, and after I'm done praying, the offering plate is going to come forward as it passes you. Stand up and let's praise God who does give us these gifts and these blessings. So let's just pray. God, I thank you for who you are. That you are a God who is personal, a God who loves. God, I thank you that you give us so much. You bless us with so much. God, I ask that you will work in each person's heart. God, that you will just be speaking to them now and after church. That just they will continue to be thinking about these four gifts that you give us. God, I pray you help them to focus in on what ones speak to them, and that they will be praying to you for those, that they will be applying what they learned today in their lives. God, I pray you help if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that they will see that all these gifts start with the forgiveness and reconciliation that you provide for them to you. I ask that you will just work. I ask that you will bless this offering, that it will be used so that others in this community around the world can be reconciled to you. And God, I just ask that you will work in Santa's Wonderland, that we will come together as a body, as a church, so that people can get connected to you. That's what this is all about. I praise you, and I thank you for who you are. In your glorious, awesome name.